Check, check. Check, check.
Okay, I'm gonna get. Okay, the pink bottle's here. I'll get that taken care of.
Is it here?
I'll get it. I'll be all right. Welcome to the Fellowship of the Christian Church. We have come here to study and worship, participate fully in all that happens here. We are the family of God. The announcements this morning, the first thing, of course, is the ritual friendship cards in the back of the pews. Any visitors or anyone that needs to fill them out, we like to have the visitors fill them out because of anybody that might be new or anything, that we know that you're here and appreciate your attending. Also, anybody that would need prayer or anything that the minister might be able to help you with, please fill that in on the ritual friendship cards. And also, we have a list of announcements on the back of the bulletin. And of course, we have to thank Bruce Bigham for filling in for Reverend Stilwell. And let's see, the calendar, of course, the minister's office hours, 9:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And Monday, I have a note here from Reverend Stilwell, I believe it is. The worship leader, okay, all members of fellowship committee and everyone taking part in trunk or treat, please come to the meeting on Monday, that's tomorrow, at 5 p.m. to 5:45 p.m. And thank you from Reverend Chris. And, of course, that is for the trunk or treat is part of that meeting. And that bulletin, I believe, is, it may be in, I don't know if it's in your bulletin or not. This was on the desk in the office. And it's for this next Sunday. It says, come join the fun October 26th in the parking lot of the Christian Church on the corner of South Pittsburgh and South Fairview. The fun runs from 3 to 5 p.m., 2 hours. So anybody wants to help, or actually bring their vehicle and open their trunk and decorate, contact Reverend Chris for more information. And the admission is free. Don't miss out. Okay, also we have Wednesday, the Christian Kids Club, and on Thursday at 6:45 p.m., the choir rehearsal. And work day on Tuesday, October 21st, 9 to 12. All hands are welcome. Is there anyone else that might have an announcement? If there are none, the community comes together to serve God and worship. The opening hymn is in the Chalice Hymnal, verses 1, 2, and 4 of number 613, Stand Up for Jesus. God's law, says the psalm writer, is a lamp to our feet and a light upon our path. We gather today at this church to seek God's light, to consider God's claim upon your life, and to follow the instructions and example of Christ. Let us bow now for the opening prayer, followed by the Lord's Prayer. As we search the Holy Scriptures, we pray for the insight to understand them, the faith to believe them, and the courage to put them into practice. And as Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Seated. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. Take care, said Jesus. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. The offertory hymn this morning and the chalice hymnal, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus, number 190.
present these offerings as an affirmation that our accumulation of goods is not a measure of our real worth, but rather a means of accomplishing good things in our world. Amen.
Now the community proclaims the word of God. The first scripture reading this morning is Jeremiah 1, and that's verses 4 through 10 on page 698 of your pew Bible. And this has to, this pertains with the message that Bruce is going to give us this morning. And this is the scripture that he would like read and for all of us to read. Here begins the reading. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord. Blessed be his word. The anthem this morning by the Sanctuary Choir, Sing, Dance, Clap Your Hands. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, we're going to take any praises or any prayer requests. Anybody have any praises or prayer requests? Nobody? Oh, okay. Roxanne? Okay, you want to sing happy birthday to Cheryl? Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Thank you. Okay, anybody else with any? Okay.
The Jeff Brandhuber family.
What is it?
Jeff Brandhuber passed away this past week.
That's really a good praise. Yes, we'll include that for sure. Anybody else? Good. Okay, Sonny. Okay, seeing nothing, we'll take it to the Lord in prayer. O gracious and loving Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. We rejoice in you and give thanks for all you do. But most of all, we thank you for who and what you are. We thank you for salvation through the blood of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming for this world to become one of us, and because of that, we have the hope of eternity with you and with those who have gone before us. We bring the needs of your people today. Some have come with special burdens and concern. Maybe nobody else knows. Maybe you do, and you can do something about it. Bring encouragement and uplift. Many have physical needs that are looking to you right now. Some have spiritual needs that they feel defeated and have succumbed to temptation and seek your forgiveness. Lord, you are the God of all grace, and our faith and confidence is in you. As we reach out to you today, we know that you are already reaching out to us. Thank you for your help that you are going to give us right now. Today we pray for all the families here and their families. We ask for blessings on all of these families. We pray for those who are away, and we ask for safe return, and we ask for travel mercies. We pray for those who should be here but are not. We ask that you nudge them and let them know that they are missed in the house of God. We pray for our unsaved loved ones, family, and friends. Reveal yourself to them, Lord, and let them know that you love them and you want them in our family. We pray for the missionaries that are out there in this wicked world, and we ask that you keep your hand and keep them safe. We ask your blessings for Cheryl today on her birthday. We also ask for the Jeff Brandhuber family that... there has been a death, and we ask that you ask for comfort for this family. And we give you lots of praises, Lord. We just love when we hear that somebody is cancer-free. So we rejoice that Barry Harvey is cancer-free. And we all mourn the loss of the six members of this McKeesport family. And please bring comfort to anybody that's associated with them. And we also ask for the blessing on the wedding that was here yesterday. And let them have a lifetime of joy, and let them know that you are Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, at this time, if all the children are come forth.
Hello.
sermon today. We're going to base it mainly off of the scripture Mark 1, 14 to 22. This is in page 35 of our Pew Bible in the New Testament portion. Now here's the reading. Now after that, John was put into prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe in the gospel." Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew and his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servant, and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered a synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught as one that had authority, but not as the scribes. The word of God. Let us pray briefly before I give the message. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We ask you that you bless the message that I am about to give. Let the message be clear, and let everyone have the understanding that you want him or her to have. Guide me through the message, and let these be the words that you would have me give to them. Prepare your people's hearts to receive the message, and bless all that hear. Be with the ones that are not here, and let them know that you are with them. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, I want to thank everybody that's involved or me giving the message today, and of course thank God for the privilege to be up here to be able to give you this message. And I hope it's beneficial and everybody gets something out of it anyway. So the message I'm about to give today, I believe it's urgent. In today's world, with modern technology, rumors and lies spread quickly. Whether it be messaging, text messaging, or Facebook, or Twitter, or even the TV, words travel quickly. But we can also tell the truth of the Bible and Jesus just as quickly. This is what I want to remind you what the Bible has to say about witnessing. Biblically speaking, have you ever heard a conversation between two or more people and they are saying something that you know is just totally wrong? And the worst part, everybody is agreeing. Wouldn't you just like to interrupt them and say, "No, no, that's not the way it is"? Even the TV sometimes puts out incorrect information for somebody's agenda. Again, the people watching seem to be soaking it up and not complaining about the bad information. Well, when the bad information is about Christianity, Jesus, or the Bible truth, we need to speak up. Now, I'm not suggesting that you get into an argument about it. The Bible says not to argue doctrine. Just wait for an opportunity to tell the gospel's truth and let the Holy Spirit convince them. But we do need to stand up for Jesus before it is too late. People are dying and going to hell if we don't tell them about Jesus. The Bible says in Proverbs, a true witness delivers souls. And in Acts it says, to open their eyes, turn from power of Satan unto God. And in the book of James it says, he which converts a sinner saves a soul from death. Now, the Bible says that we are all ambassadors for Christ. And it is our duties to witness. Jesus has saved us, and he has made us all disciples. Even this church that we sit in right now, well, it's called the Disciples of Christ. Jesus also gave us the Great Commission. He told us to go out and we were to be fishers of men. Jesus also told us to preach the gospel to the nations. If a friend or a co-worker or colleague doesn't know Jesus, it's our duty to tell him and offer him a chance to be saved and to make it to heaven. I know I don't want my conscience knowing they died not knowing the way, and I didn't even offer them not a word. In 1 Corinthians it says, "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." And in Ezekiel says, "Nor speakest to warn the wicked, his blood I require at thy hand." Jesus has not only commissioned us to witness, but he also gave us lots of examples. One such example was Zacchaeus. When Jesus was done speaking to him, we see in Luke 19, verse 9, he says, "Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost.'" There are many more examples in the Bible. Today we ought to all go home and see how many we can find. The Lord rejoices when one comes to him or one comes back to him. So plant the seeds and let's see God rejoice. Now you say, where and who to witness to? Now some people, our government and persons in charge would have us to believe that we cannot witness in public places. Example being in Taunton, 2009, Taunton, Massachusetts, an 8-year-old boy was sent home and he was ordered to go psychological evaluation for drawing a picture of Jesus on the cross. Manger scenes and Ten Commandments, which are witnessing tools, they have been ordered to be removed from town squares, courthouses, and schools. The last I heard, we still had freedom of speech and freedom of religion. And even if it is against man's law, the book of Acts 5:29 says we ought to obey God rather than man. If we follow what Apostle Paul did, well, he preached Jesus and then he was beaten and jailed for it. And he was even put in the stocks. And from these stocks, he praised God. How many of us could do that? I know I'd probably have a hard time myself. But I know one thing we do need. We need the boldness of Paul. Jesus told us in Mark, he says, "Preach the gospel to every creature." And in another verse in Mark, he says, I only had the one verse. Sorry. Okay. I lost a page. No, I do have a couple other verses here. Sorry. Excuse me. So the other verse in Mark was, "Go home to thy friends and tell them." And in Matthew 28, it tells us, "Go for, therefore, and teach all the nations." In Acts, tell us to witness both to great and small. Even the Old Testament in Ezekiel, it tells us, give everyone a chance, even the rebellious. In another chapter in Ezekiel, it says, "Warn the wicked to turn from his wicked ways." At this one place that I used to work, it was about 15 years ago, there was this guy that was during break time, he was making fun of Jesus, church, and religion, and I missed the opportunity to witness to him. At the very least, I should have told him that I didn't appreciate that kind of talk. Needless to say, the Holy Spirit convicted me, and I felt awful. I got the feeling that if he would have been my friend, that I would have stuck up for him. Well, God is the most important person and more than a friend, and here I kept my mouth shut. Boy, I really felt awful, and I sure don't want to do that again. Peter denied Jesus twice before the rooster crowed. I could somewhat imagine how he must have felt, like a traitor. How could one ever make this up? Good thing that we have a forgiving God and he knows how we are. After that missed opportunity, I'm a little bit bolder now and at putting my 2 cents in when it comes to Jesus. Again, I stress, not to argue, but to witness. If it comes to the person that wants to argue, I just let them know that Jesus is not up for debate, that Jesus is the Son of God, third member of the Trinity, and he is God. And at that point, I'll either change the subject or I'll leave. I have already said that the Bible has plenty to say about witnessing. There's a whole list of scriptures on witnessing in the Old and the New Testaments. To sum up who we are to witness to, this is an easy one. Everybody that will listen. Now, of course, we're going to run across those that will be difficult. And this is what the Bible says about those people. The book of Proverbs says, "Speak not into an ear of the fool, for he will despise." And the book of Proverbs also says, "Go from the presence of the foolish man." And in Matthew, it says, "Whoever shall not hear your words, depart." And in Acts, it says, "Don't continue witnessing to unreceptive rejectors." I know I've tried to talk to people, certain people about Jesus, and they give me every excuse in the book why the Bible isn't true. There was no use talking to them. Their minds were made up, or they're just not ready at this point to accept Jesus. Then when I tried to witness to several atheists, and when they started speaking blasphemies and shaking their fist at God, I just changed the subject and left really quick. The book of Acts tells us, when they oppose and blaspheme, he says, "I will go." And in Matthew it says, "Give not that which is holy unto dogs," that means unreceptive people, "neither cast your pearls before swines." Like I said earlier, do not argue doctrine. Now, the Holy Spirit and witnessing. Here's about 6 scriptures that tells why the Holy Spirit is essential for bringing people to God. In Acts 1, it says, "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be the witness." And in Acts 4, it says, "They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word with boldness." John 6:44 says, "No man comes to me except the Father draw him." And in Zechariah 4, it says, "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit." And then in John 15, it says, "Without me, ye can do nothing." And in 1 Corinthians 3:6, it says, "I have planted, but God gives the increase." Jesus gave us the parable of the sowers. It's the Holy Spirit that made the seed grow. We are just to plant the seeds. The Holy Spirit waters and makes them grow. Now, what do we witness? Well, of course, the obvious is we speak of what we know. And in John, Acts, and the book of Corinthians says this. It says, "Speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen." The next thing is to keep your witness simple. 2 Corinthians says, "Use great plainness of speech." And in Mark 16, it says, "We should preach the gospel, the good news of salvation of Jesus." And I guess that's just obvious. If we're preaching, that's what we do preach. In Acts 4 and 5, it says, "We should speak of Christ's resurrection and Christ's forgiveness of sins." In the book of 1 Corinthians, it says we should speak Christ crucified. And Timothy tells us that this is the reason that Christ came, was to save sinners. And in 1 Corinthians, it says he was buried and rose again. So these are all good things that we can talk about and witness to people and inject them into conversations when you can. Now, here's some things that we shouldn't do. Again, I'm going to tell you, don't argue about the Bible. If you see that a person is not willing to accept God in the Bible as we present it, then get out of the conversation or leave. And like I said, the Holy Spirit is the only one that can convince them that the Bible is true. We can only present the gospel as is. Don't ab lib. If a question is answered that you can't answer, tell them that you'll get back with them. Never, never make it up, because they'll get you on it every time. You can consult your Bible pastor or a Bible teacher on what the Bible says or mean about their questions. Don't go deep. Keep it simple. Don't entertain foolish questions meant to belittle you or poke fun at the gospel. Let the Spirit do the work. In conclusion, the Bible says that all Christians should witness to everybody, everywhere. Give the good news to Christ so that everyone has a chance to accept Him and have an everlasting life with Him in heaven. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the message brought forth today. As we continue this day, let the message continue to speak to our heart. We know that the scriptures that were read are your word and have a purpose in our lives. We are truly blessed today by hearing your word. We thank you for everything that you have provided for us. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear the spiritual truths of these scriptures. Help us all be workers together with him, and we will always give you the praise. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, the community comes together at the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake them as best suits your meditation. We are now all going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of My Hope is Built, on page 537 of the Chalice Hymnal.
Before I do my communion meditation, I would like to thank Bruce Bigham for the message that he gave us this morning. And I hope Bruce won't mind. Bruce and I are cousins. Actually, my grandmother is his great-grandmother. Long story, we can figure it out later. But what I want to say, I sat here and I listened to Bruce speak this morning, and I thought, I think I knew her better than you did, Bruce. Short story, my dad's one of 13. His father was one of the older. My dad was the baby. His grandfather, I mean. So anyway, I knew Grandma better than Bruce did. But my grandmother was well known in the small community of Mill Run of being a very devout, godly woman. And her witness was out there for everyone to see. And as I was listening to Bruce's message this morning, I thought Grandma's witness is still continuing in you, Bruce. So thank you. That was, for me, a personal note, and I thank you for listening. But I thought our witness goes on in ways through our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren in ways that we probably never dream of. But thank you, Bruce, for sharing that this morning. I'd like to share some scripture this morning from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. It's, believers are like salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Is it then good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. My communion meditation this morning comes from a publication called Christ in the Home. The story is told of three miners during the gold rush who struck an immensely rich vein of ore. They agreed to tell no one about their find while they hurried to town to stake their claim. Each man kept his word, but they were still followed back to their mine by a crowd. You see, the people had seen the look on their faces, and they had known without any word spoken that something wonderful had happened. A wise Christian had a small sign on her desk that said, "My life is the only Bible some people will ever read." And it makes us stop and think about it. What do other people think or see when they see me? Am I radiating joy and peace and hope? Do I treat other people with dignity and care? Do I avoid gossip and dissension? Do I seek God's will when making a decision? Jesus tells us in the scripture I read earlier that, and his followers, that we are the light of the world, and our light should not be hidden, but placed high on a lamp for all to see. We are called to not be afraid of what others will think, but to live our ways, life in ways that make it clear who our Master is. Hopefully, when people see our face, they'll know something wonderful is happening. Now we'll have our prayer by Elder Deb.
Let us pray. Father, once again, we thank you for meeting us here at this communion table. And as we partake of this bread and this cup, we ask for forgiveness, your forgiveness. Forgiveness of others, forgiveness of ourselves. Lord, shed your mercy and your grace upon us. And we do thank you for your unconditional love. In Jesus' name we pray.
We recall that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again."
Now the community comes to respond to the Word of God. If you wish to accept Christ as your Savior, rededicate your life, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come as we sing. The hymn will be verses 1 and 4 from the page 494 of the Chalice Hymnal. They'll know we are Christians. As we leave this place today, we ask that your presence go with us and that your presence bless us and everyone all around us this week and evermore. Amen.